In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this third Sunday now in Lent, Mother Church places before us the story of cleansing of the temple, a rare story that is told in all four of the Gospels. And as I read the story, Jesus turned over in anger the money changer tables and went away those selling animals for sacrifice in the temple, and reminded of our beloved seminary out in the sermon last week. But he said that there are some stories of the Bible that are basic stories, and they're easy to understand and comprehend. Others are more, as he said, advanced. They take the investment of time and appreciate the mystery and study to come to appreciation. What might be advanced for me might be very easy and basic for someone else. But I must confess that since I was born, the story of our Lord's cleansing of the temple was and always has been an advanced. As far as leads me to comprehend my Lord and Savior in a state of anger. And yet, because it is told in all four Gospels, we know that the Holy Spirit has placed the story for our benefit. The story is there to bless us and help us become the men and women that we are meant to be in Jesus Christ. So I'd like to say a few words placing this story in context today. And then he said how it might bring us to us. First again, told in all four Gospels. And yet, the beautiful thing is that every Gospel writer tells the story with slightly different details. The version we have today from St. John is the most different from all the other Gospels. For instance, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the cleansing of the temple happens late in the ministry of Jesus. Actually, the cross breaks the camel's back. The authority he wants to convince you is that this is what made them progressively angry and they applied to the lesson. Whereas in John, our version today happens earlier in his ministry, and John is very deliberate to say that it happened in the feast of Passover. It's very important for John. Remember, Passover was the central feast of the Jewish nation. Commemorating so many thousands and centuries ago, the greatest saving act of God for his people, enslaved in Egypt, with a Pharaoh with a hardened heart, refusing to let the people of God go, plague after plague, only for it to harden it more. Then finally, at the end, the last plague, the angel of death would come into the land of Egypt to kill the firstborn of all living, to break the will of Pharaoh. And Moses instructed the Israelites and ancient Israel to take an unpunished land, one per household, if a household was poor, they could share with another home. And at a certain time, to sacrifice the land, and to place the blood on the doorpost of each house, such that when the angel of death came into the land of Egypt, it would recognize the blood of the sacrificial land, and pass over those houses, thus saving the people of Israel. And then when they were saved, delivered from slavery to the Red Sea, and outside the Egyptian commandments, 4 years in the wilderness, and raised Christ over the doorway to the promised land. Remember that Moses made his promise never to forget that saving act, to teach to the children, their children's children, forever and ever, and trusting it this very day. And in the day that Jesus, the feast of the Passover, the central theme to the Jewish people, was greatly celebrated. Indeed, it was one of the privileged feasts of the day, meaning that people from all over the known world, all over the ages of the Roman Empire, would come to Jerusalem. And not just Jews. Remember, the temple was a place for all people in prayer. To be sure, there was a hierarchy, that only the high priest entered the Holy of Holies once a year, and only Jews of certain standing could go to the innermost part of the temple. But there were places for everyone, even the Gentiles, even what the person called the God fearer, the person was not necessarily a Jew, but had great respect for the riches, great respect for the saving act of salvation in Egypt, those many centuries ago. There was a place for them to court the Gentiles. In the outlying areas of the temple, where they could come and pay homage. participates in the ritual of Passover. And with this were the money changers exchanging coinage and those selling animals. Remember, in our Lord's day, it's no different than today. If I go to another country, I have to exchange my coinage for the currency that works in that country. One of the commandments is you should not make a graven image. And so many of the coins coming into the temple and graven images. I'm going to the emperor or so. They had this thing appointed to the appropriate to be spent for the temple tax, the tithes, the offerings, and such in the temple. Also, outside of our frame of reference, but in that day, animal sacrifice was a part of worship. And people couldn't bring their livestock with them in the trailer coming to the temple. You would have to buy these animals there. There are animals for the poor, pigeons, and the dogs. The turtle dove, such as the apparently Jesus walked 40 days after his birth, was under his temple. And then larger animals, for those of more friends, was something angered at Jesus. And he turned over the table of the money changers and sprang up all those self animals in the most dramatic fashion. Surely, it never exactly said what made it next. We have death. Most death that is human nature, given that there's nothing new under the sun, especially without regulation, they're most likely the money changers for inflating the cost and lining their pockets. Those are the animals who are inflating the cost and lining their pockets. And the horror of it is that people get repeated with the people least able to see. The least able to defend themselves. Who is able to support it. Another guess might be that where did it take place but in the court of the Gentiles? The one place where God fears and people outside of the Jewish religion to come. Yet this was the place where these commercial wares were set up. So the bottom of the very people had no right else to go to worship. Robbing them of their faith. Whatever the case, to be sure. Jesus was angry at the people who could least afford to be seated, least afford to be hurt, were the ones who were seated and hurt. It's a curious thing, Jesus. We rarely see stories of his anger. This is by far the most dramatic one in the Bible. We need to say Jesus made him mild, so he was stronger, made him mild. Even when he himself was being attacked and never been angry, think about when he's condemned to death, he was scourged with a sword, almost to death, placed a crown of thorns, blood coming down his face, carrying a cross, running to three times, being held to the cross, hanging on the cross for 6 hours in the torture, being humiliated and ridiculed. And what did he do? When angered, he just smiled. He gave his mother with his last breath to the care of John, and his last words were to say, "Dear children, for they know not what they do." So he was actually never responded in anger. It was only when those who could not afford to be hurt, those who couldn't protect themselves, those who couldn't pay for themselves, when they got hurt, he was angry. That's the context of the story. So we have to ask, well, how does this break up? I think of all the human emotions, how are there so many of us? The passion, love, and sorrow, and grief. Sympathy, empathy, fear, hurt, of all the human emotions, it's given by the arm of life and place. The one who did most wrong, I think, is anger. You can get it wrong a lot. Here, when you go into a rage, you slam the door, and you throw things, and you say words you might not do, and you say, you know who's dead, and something that hard. When you turn anger and keep it down, pop it up, this path to address the way, that path to address the way, we know even then, we're not there at all. How is there wrong? Because it's so easy to get wrong. And here's a profound statement. If it were easy, it would be easy. But it's not easy. It is the hardest, it's difficult to get anger right, and how do we do it? Well, here's an old Christian way. How is it handled? That it was. It's imitation of Christ. That's what they say and say. They're perfect. They fly. They imitate Jesus. So think about how he used before him and try to imitate him as it pops up in our I had a third grade teacher. He taught all the way to hell. She taught me 10 acres of gold. She had a conviction, a true conviction, regarding spelling. She said, you can spell words, you can get every letter right, you can get the capital letters right, the whole thing is right, but if you can't use it in a sentence, you don't know the word. And she, and her son, said to make a spell word in this, you hit the sentence. I thought it was so unfair. But she, that was conviction of hers. I thought about it really deep. Professor Christianity says, we can know every word of the Bible, we can know it, we can know the creed, we can know the Ten Commandments. Because old country preachers, they can be baptized so many times, you know the fish by the first name. But if you can't use Jesus in the sentences of behavior, or sentences of life, you don't know Jesus. That's what makes Christianity Christianity. Not perfection, but that's the crime, but the holiness is crime. That's what the saints do, they imitate Jesus. Even in the difficult emotion of anger, say, how would Jesus do it? Remember that old phrase a few years ago, some kind of Christ people would say, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Nothing would change about that. That's taking to a lot of it. That's imitating Jesus. That's what the church calls us to. I think one of the people that did this address, and really the part of the King's business, he didn't think of all that on the top of his head. His nonviolent protest and the way he changed his world, the way he fought for people who couldn't fight for themselves. When anger welled up, when he saw people cheated and hurt and killed, the very ones that couldn't defend themselves. His anger was directed. The condescending of Jesus. Remember, he's a Trinitarian, later, in depth, Christian, preacher. He loved Jesus Christ. And he used Jesus in the sentence of his life. And that's why we still remember Martin Luther King Jr. Because he lived it. Tells us how to imitate Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, I make a prediction that by the end of today, every single one of us will have an amazing opportunity to listen to Jesus' gospel story in a sentence. Because anger is possible. And let us try just to ask ourselves, how would Jesus behave? How would he do it? And at first, we won't be perfect. We'll mess it up. We'll get it wrong. But think about the blessings we spend our lives trying to imitate Jesus. How in time, through the long haul of time, we will grow in that time. And that is Christianity. And that's what it is to love us. Blessed be the story of the cleansing of the temple, given to us four times. Give it to us from the past,